Now I want to open up the scripture this morning. So will you please turn to Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom from the captives, and to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Now this is spoken by Isaiah the prophet about something that was going to happen in the future. So there was an excitement, an expectation. But it didn't happen in the lifetime of Isaiah. So turn with me to Luke. Luke 4, 14 to 21. And this is the fulfillment of God's promise that he would send the Messiah, and these qualities and these things would be demonstrated by him for then and for now. Right, starting to read at 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogue, and everybody praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah, the scroll was handed to him, unrolled it. He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And this is the verse I'd like you to think of. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So the Messiah had arrived on planet Earth, and he announced the beginning of his ministry. Today, Jesus says these things in the scripture. Everything in the Bible is based on God's love. God is love. And we are all individual, precious, unique, and loved of God, dearly loved of him. From the youngest, for those not even born yet, to the eldest, he loves them with an everlasting love. In verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news. This was Jesus' first line. So it's got to be important, hasn't it? So what is this good news that he's talking about, that he wants to tell the world about? It's the good news of Jesus. It's the good news of the gift of full forgiveness. That is, to me, a wow, because the Lord has done it all for us. That full forgiveness was accomplished by Jesus going to the cross for us. The sinless one went to the cross to pay the price, to take all of our sin onto himself. That is past, present, and future. And I thought in communion, when he was speaking about sin, that it's all covered in the blood of Jesus. He just wants that repentant heart, They're coming before him. Lord, I've messed up again. And he will come and he'll minister to you and bring that release to go forward into all that he has for you. Now, we know for certain that God's plan is for everyone to come to know him. All who believe in him will be saved. That's the scripture. But this scripture is the best, I think. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, the whoever, that is everyone we look at, everyone we see, he wants to come back to him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. We need to believe by faith and receive into our heart and know him as our Lord, Saviour, friend and brother, that he will never leave us or forsake us. Recently, I read a book called Heaven is for Real. I think many of you probably read that book. And there was one statement that really struck me. This book is about a young boy, very young boy, who had an experience of God when he was having an operation, and he was very, very ill, and the Lord met with him there, which was quite amazing. Well, you can imagine a little boy, his description of things is very childlike, but very profound, because this was his statement. His dad asked the son, "Do you know why Jesus died on the cross?" And he replied, his reply was, "Jesus died on the cross so we could see his dad," which I think is fantastic. And we're talking here, this simple declaration that God wants that relationship mended. God created us for his pleasure. God wants a close relationship with each one of us in this life and the next. Sin had broken that relationship. And a verse in Genesis so thrills my heart. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they had everything. It was paradise. And they walked with God in the garden. And then Adam and Eve were disobedient. They ate the apple off the tree of knowledge, and the relationship was broken. And then we hear God coming into the garden, like he did every day, to be with Adam and Eve. And he said, but the Lord said, and he called out, "Where are you?" Now, God knows everything, so he knew full well what Adam had done and where he was. But I think this is in the Bible to show the heart cry of God, that he was so saddened that this relationship had broken, because he loves to be close to us, to have that walk. It's quite amazing for our minds to think of it, that Almighty God loves to walk with us every day. And so, but God had a plan, and he sent Jesus. And Jesus died for all our sins so that we can now have a relationship with God. That when God looks on us, he sees Jesus' righteousness, not ours. And so he's saying, come into the veil, come closer, come in and know me more. God wants that relationship restored for each one of us. Today is the day that God is calling those of us here that don't know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. He wants to give you peace, love that knows no bounds, and security and a hope and a future in a world that's a mess. When we have taken that step, turning, repenting of our sin, receiving God's forgiveness. Forgiving ourselves is often hard, but God will help us do that. And receive him as our Saviour and Lord. We become a child of God. And the angel in heaven rejoices over us. I'm just going to have a drink of water. It is annoying when your mouth dries up, isn't it? Right. Now, the next verse is freedom from the prisoners, for the prisoners. And when I thought about this, there are actual prisoners, people incarcerated all over the world for all manner of things that they've either done or someone has imprisoned them for something. And with that, it made me realise that God hasn't forgotten any of the prisoners. And he's raising up men and women, Christians, to go in and minister. That these prisoners can know freedom in Christ, which is not, they may never go out the prison, but they'll have the freedom of knowing him and the forgiveness in their hearts. But the prisoner that I'm going to talk about is another prison. And this prison, my father used to quote, bless him, "Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a chain." And he means by that, that we can all feel imprisoned by our emotions, our anxiety, our regret, our disappointment, and even our mourning. Many of us here love Jesus, have given our lives and hearts to him, but we get stuck. And we read our Bibles, we pray, but we feel we're not growing, we're not going far. What's happening? Now, I'd like to give, I've got a long testimony, so I won't give it all, but just a short testimony to show how God releases you from a difficult place. When I was 38, my husband, who was then 41, died of a heart attack. I was left with two sons, 14 and 12, and I was pretty upset with God. You know, I'll be honest with you. I was angry. I know you're all going to laugh now, but I was very shy and quiet. Anyway, this is what God can do. So I didn't want to be a single parent family. How could God make me a single parent family? I didn't feel able or capable or doing anything. So I was pretty, pretty sad about all this. I'd been baptized at 16 and I'd been sealed in the Holy Spirit and I attended church, I read my Bible, I prayed, I took the boys to school. So, you know, why wasn't things working out as I thought they should in my life? So I just give an illustration of the power of prayer. When I was having one of my sessions with the Lord, there'd be a knock on the door from a pal called Josie, who went to the same church as me, and she said, "The Lord sent me, are you in trouble?" I said, "Yes." So she let me rant on to her. We'd have a prayer and then she'd go home. But that was, it really spoke to me that God knew what was going on and he loved me despite all my wrangling and that. So I went off on a holiday with my mum and two boys to a place, Ilfracombe, and when I got there, I thought, I'll read a book for God. That's how I'd talk in those days. I mean, it was kind of me, wasn't it? Anyway, this bookshop, it wasn't a Christian bookshop. There was loads of books, and they were tightly packed. You know how it is. And so I had a look along, and there was this thin one. And I thought, well, that looks all right. Thin, notice. And it said, Something More by Catherine Marshall. I think you're all too young here to know about Catherine Marshall. But Catherine Marshall, it was so amazing. It was of God. She lost her husband young, like I had. Her husband was a minister, so she had all the questions the same as me. So it was really speaking into my heart. And also about the spiritual side, that Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. And we're foolish to think that he's gone away or he's not doing things. So that was also a big breakthrough for me. And so when I got home, I felt God was speaking to me. And I went to my bedroom and I felt the Lord. This is where I was stuck. The Lord said, "You can stay being the sad widow." You know, I could stay in that, just rehearsing all what had happened to me. Or I could give my life afresh to him. And he would do something more than I could possibly imagine. So it seemed a bit incredible at the time, but yes, I'm with you, Lord. And then in the morning, I felt such an impulse to go and read my Bible. And this was the verse, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not for ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works," which you can easily get into, "so that no man," nobody can boast and say, "Well, I've always done good works." Excuse me. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And he's already prepared the good works for us to do. We needn't struggle about whether we should do this, that, the other. He will show us if we seek his face." Well, I was irrepressible. Anyway, I then had an opportunity to go to Lee Abbey, which some of you all know. And Andrew Abothnot and his wife was speaking, and it was a week's course learning how to minister to others. So I thought, this is for me, Chris. Off we go in the car. And I drove there, I'm nervous at driving, but anyway, I went. And with my pal, Josie. And within half an hour, I knew who needed the ministry. It wasn't me to minister to others. It was me. I had a broken heart. I was stuck. And as we all know, when we marry, the Bible says we are one. So when Trevor died, there was like a big, sad hole there, which didn't seem to go away. But then the Lord filled me with his Holy Spirit. He filled that hole, and the joy, all the joy and the love which has never left me. He assured me that he would be with me. He would be my husband. He would look after these boys. I just got to keep my eyes on him. And so when I came back from there, I went back to church, quite a different person, just full of the Lord. I wanted to tell the whole world that you don't have to stay in that sad place, that he wants to heal us. And when Michelle spoke, I thought he was going to speak the sermon about brokenness. I thought, hold on a minute, Lord, you've given me this. But it's wonderful how he coordinates everything, doesn't he? And so I believe, I've told you all of this because I believe we all need the empowering of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Before and after. I know what it's like before. I really wanted to be a good Christian and to go forward. But without the empowering of the Holy Spirit, you can't do it. When I got back, the Bible was a love story from God. Every line I wanted to underline, because it was all relevant to me. Christina Townsend. Well, I wasn't that then. I was Christina Gilmore. And my husband was of Irish descent. So anyway, the Bible really came alive, and I just loved it. Sorry, much. And you know that hymn, "How Can It Be? My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee." That's exactly where I went. I just wanted to tell everybody and tell of the healing power of God. And praise the Lord, he's given me opportunities. Now, the promise is mine. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the main line here is, God has no favorites. It's the same for every one of us here in this room, that he wants to do the same for you as he's done for me, to set you free. And this healing that I received was the beginning. I see it like an onion. The Lord takes layer upon layer off. And just when you think, great, I've made it, Lord, somehow something else comes to the fore. And you realize that you need, well, we just need God all the time, don't we? Right, I'd like us to turn now to John 14, and I want to back up my testimony with Scripture, because I think it's so important that we speak it as God shows us. So, God 14, verse 16. Now, this is before the crucifixion, so he's preparing the disciples for what's going to happen again. Because they know, he's telling them he's going to be crucified, and they think, well, how are we going to manage without him? Because they've had him all the time. They must have felt bereft. So what he said was, his promise, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So that promise was there. Then we read Acts 14. Now this is after the crucifixion. Jesus appears to many people, but also the disciples. And it's before he ascends into heaven. And he, starting to read Acts, where are we? 1 verse 4. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore... Oh, no, that's not it. No. Sorry. As you were. I don't know why I put 4 down. Oh, I did. I wrote 4. Anyway, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. What you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now the word that struck me there, he didn't say form a committee because you're going to be starting the new church. He didn't say this is the strategy I want you disciples to do. When I've gone ascended into heaven, he said, wait. And the promise was, wait, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So now we're going to read the fulfillment of that promise. Isn't it wonderful that when God speaks, it happens? So we can rely on whatever's said in the Word. It's either happened or it will happen in the last days. So we read, hopefully, we'll read, where are my Acts 2, 1 to 3. I'll have to ask the Lord about that. Anyway, now they were staying in Jerusalem. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So as the Spirit of God came on the disciples, we can read on further that Peter, so full of the Holy Spirit, went straight out and started to preach the gospel and tell the people there about Jesus and what he'd done on the cross and how he was ascended into heaven. And he's alive today, and to come and to know him as their Saviour. Also, he spoke about in the last days, and this is a prophecy from Joel, and so it was coming true at that time. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. It's including all of us here. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. On my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in these days. And they will prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we are encouraged by that word, aren't we? And so the same God who empowered Peter wants to empower us. Now, Charles Spurgeon, a great Baptist preacher, in one of his books, he wrote, "Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind, chariots without steed. Like branches without sap, we wither. Like coals without fire, we are useless." Are we open to stepping out into the deep, to know the fullness of the Holy Spirit, or continue to be filled? The verb, I think, is the continuous one there, that it's not just a one-off experience, that the Lord is constantly wants to fill us. Many of us ask, is this empowering of the Holy Spirit for today? There are many different arguments, but I just want to speak about what we read in the Word, which is truth. And I do want to quote from Martin Luther Jones, a well-known British preacher of the 20th century. The scriptures never anywhere say that these things were only temporary. Never is his emphasis. There is no such statement anywhere to hold such a view. It simply quenches the spirit. Also, he stated, "I believe we are in urgent need of some manifestation, some demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit." And I think we can say today too, we cry out for that movement of the Holy Spirit among us, the glory of God, and he to get all the credit. It is nothing to do with man. And he is calling us today to come, like a love offering, you know, like when you meet the one you love and you want to marry and they say, come. There's that joy, you want to come, don't you? And why do we need to come close to God and receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit? There are many reasons, but I just want to bring out this one, and it sort of emphasized what Michelle was saying there again, because he is preparing his people to move out, to share the good news of Jesus, to know that we can speak salvation and healing today to those that we meet, to receive his love, the fullness of his Spirit. Are we ready to welcome the lonely, the drug addict, the ones that this world has dismissed, but are so precious to the Lord? No one is too low, too dirty, too far gone for Jesus to love and restore and make new and make such a new creation that they're not unrecognizable. So the latter part of this, I'm going to invite those who do not know Jesus, who want to give their lives to him, to renew a commitment. Perhaps they feel that they've backslidden. Those who want to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, or to receive the Spirit for the first time. Those who are hurt, those who are stuck in an emotional place that they've been in for years and they just want to be set free. The Lord can set you free and put you on a road that you couldn't even imagine. I mean, those who are stuck in their Christian life, come forward to the front. Come and receive what he wants to do. Today is the day of God's favor. That's what the Bible says. And today is the day. Do not be afraid, for he wants to give good gifts to his children. I'm going to lead you in a prayer first. And during this prayer or afterwards, if you want to come forward, then we'll pray with you and we'll just trust the Lord. If the music group could come out to play that after I've done the prayer, that would be super. Thank you. Shall we just bow our heads in prayer then? Dear Father, our wonderful Heavenly Father, please stir our hearts to reach out for all that you have promised us. Give our carnality, our indifference to the spiritual realities around us, and our dependence on human resources rather than your power. Teach us to pray and wait upon you in humility and faith, Send the wind and the fire of your Holy Spirit upon us. Transform us into men and women who bear powerful witness in word and deed to the reality of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So as you feel free, just come forward and we'll pray with you. Lord Jesus. Thank you.